them in all these other things that are sincere, talk to the service delivery. Just go straight to the service delivery issues. And I may have missed it right at the beginning, that from you as provinces, we really just want honest presentation of the status quo in terms of service delivery. And it is only when you are giving the true reflection of what is happening on the ground that you will be able to make the necessary intervention to assist you through your head of it. Yeah, you may proceed.
My name is Philip Chepperson, Honorable Chepperson, and one of the members of the Portfolio Committee Report on the Foreign Affairs, and my colleagues. Morning to you all. Protocol of this. My name is Nancy Koshandu, and Chepperson, I was asking myself why all the 18 females are listed for today's program, but it's not for you to answer today. Quite some 18 since 2015, and I've been acting for 21 months now. I don't have the latest developments in terms of the filling of the post, but the letter that I have now, because they only appoint me for the duration of 6 months, it goes up to the end of November 2015. Thank you, Chair. That's all I know of the post of the provincial manager. Yes. I'm currently appointed for the as a district manager operations for two districts, that is Rulen and Umkhanyakude. And as we speak, there is an appointed district operation in my place, that's the Kutelebi. So I'm not taking full responsibility of that, of those two districts, except for the provincial level. Thank you. What I want the committee to note is that the department, the district, or the province of KLN constitutes 10.5% of the population of South Africa, as per 2011 census report.
I'm not sure whether I understood what I have correct. She said she's a GMO for two regions.
District.
District. And then now you are acting as a province.
Yes.
Then you are appointed on 6 months basis.
Yes, in my letters are already.
And then now as a district, they have appointed somebody else.
To act on my place.
Oh, is that the appointment as an acting?
Acting as a major operation.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the protection. I've indicated that the population of KZN is only at 10.5 million. And just to note for committee members that, but critical 1.7%. The province has got 10 districts plus one metro, which makes up 11. But we only have 5 appointed district manager operations. As a result, some of us are having 2 or 3 districts. So it actually creates a challenge for us others to raise that list before you get to the similar issue. So the list of the offices is provided for the members and how the province is constituted with a port of entry leading to KZN. And then the list, I'm going to give them the list of offices and get straight to the target that we had as the department, provincial department. I'm talking to civic targets, and it's 4 of them. Starting with the batch registration, I'm actually confident to report, Chairperson, that we performed very well during the first quarter. So my performance is based on the first quarter for 2015-16, April to June. With the batch registration, we performed at 100%, 101%. And then coming to the ID smart card, we overperformed on that one, where we performed at 124%, 24.7%. Then the late registration of bed, which is a serious concern or challenge in KZN, we've managed to deal with all those that were forwarded to us or those that were presented to us by the public members. And the majority of them were attended to during the campaigns that we had in the province. Then coming to the fourth target, for the proceeding of this outreach campaign, we've managed so far in KZN, we've reached our target and we've conducted 11 outreach campaigns during the first quarter, and we've managed to visit 176 areas during those campaigns. And what pushed us to have such a high number during this quarter is the fact that our Honourable Minister has actually made an announcement that we are trying to go down on the registration of the registration bank in December 2015. And in terms of knowing exactly that the majority of our applicants are coming from border lines, we are trying to clear up. We've got a number of campaigns that are also running the instance our allocated mobile units. And moving to immigration services, we only have five targets that we report on. The first one is on employers charged. We're looking at those employers who employ illegal foreign nationals, and then we visit those shops or businesses to ensure that there are no illegal foreign nationals that are appointed there. We've achieved our target that was set for quarter one. And then the second one is on transporters charged. We exceeded the target on this one. We achieved it during the first quarter. Then followed by undocumented foreigners who are deported direct through the border gate. We also achieved this one within 8 calendar days after the person has been identified. So we achieved this one. We dealt with 655 illegal foreign nationals, and they were all deported. Then we've got a deportation that we call under deportation because they have to go through Linela. We managed to deal with 186 that we are aware of, and we managed to deport all of them. Then the fifth one is on the fraudulent marriages, and that's where I expected to conduct investigations in terms of those marriages. And some of the cases are brought to us by the department, are identified by our officials, and others are identified by community members who are condemned and actually report to the department. So only 84 that were presented to us as a department, and we managed to deal with all of them. So I'm done with the targets, and then coming to ports of entry, just to give you an understanding of the ports of entry, which are the land ports of entry. Currently, churches in the ports of entry are no longer reporting direct to the province as from the 1st of April 2015, but they still form part of our structures at the provincial level, and we still work closely with them in a number of activities in the province. So through the ports of entry, I'm referring to the three that are meant by the department. This is Borela, Onferovast, and Cote Bay. They managed to deal with 90,503 arrivals during the first quarter. It's 190,503 arrivals, and then 183,390 departures. So we've got records in all our monthly meetings. They are team members, and they provide us with reports, especially with the issues relating to the regulations, immigration regulations, because we all know that there are lots of challenges in terms of implementation. So they are the right managers to give us the reliable information on specifics, including the airport of entry, Kinshasa, and research data based in Kigali, and then the harbor. Then I'd like to make one comment. I hand over to Director of Finance and Support. We had incidents of xenophobic attacks during the month of April in KZN. I mentioned that just to put it to our attention, Chairperson and the committee, that they had major financial implications on our budget. We spent around 500,000, half a million, just for the xenophobic attacks in ensuring that we got assistance from other provinces. They had to deploy their officials, but we couldn't manage in terms of our allocated resources when it comes to immigration. So we had a high expenditure, but the matter is being discussed between the province and the national department. We are looking for a refund because this is actually going to hamper our service delivery moving forward for the financial year. And then the number of deportations during that period of the xenophobic attack, we managed to deport 1,862 foreign nationals. But I cannot say, because at that time we didn't check the data much. We were taking records of all of them, including the fingerprints, but we're deporting even those who are here legally because they had to make a choice between staying behind, getting integrated with refugees, or going back to their countries relating to the issues, because some of them were not safe. So we managed to deal with that high number in partnership with other stakeholders. What has made us to achieve this target, Chairperson and the committee? We are working closely with a number of structures in KwaZulu-Natal. And just to mention a few, there is a good working relationship and even the memorandum of understanding between the department and the Tekumi Metro, up to the extent where they actually appoint the contract workers to assist with the marketing of the departmental services at different levels. And we are still trying to actually be replicated to other district municipalities. But the challenge, as we speak, is just the financial implications that come with the responsibility. Then we've got another strategy that I would like to mention among the list. It's Operation Supermaster. It's a strategy that was developed and is managed by the cleanup office, where they usually call together all the service delivery departments, including the non-governmental organizations, plus private sector, to come together in departments relating to service delivery. The advantage for us as the Department of Home Affairs for the existence of the structure is the fact that they've got field workers who are directly on the ground who do the community and house profile. So when they do the profiling, they actually identify all service delivery matters relating to different departments, and they do the referral, and they are in all the wards in KZN. So they assist us very much in order to ensure we cover all our community members who need the enabling documents that are provided by the Department of Home Affairs. On that note, Chairperson, I'm going to hand over to Director of Finance and Support Assisting. No, I can talk to you, but I do have an invitation, I'm clear on it, but I would like to hand over to them, take a break, and then I'll come with the change. Okay. With your permission. Thank you. Finance, HR, and other support services. That's the structure we have in Home Affairs and all the policies. They are not funded to finance. They were appointed for finance, but there was a negotiation to actually extend their money. And that was accepted by all kinds of finances. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, I think what one understands that, I mean, is that as a provincial manager, you must be on top of your human resources. Even though that you may be having a dedicated person working on that, and let's leave it for now, let him report, but that is what sometimes we'd like to hear, that the provincial manager is on top of the operation in the program, including the personnel that actually assist to deliver services, and it must be in the know. Just continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. But I'm pretty sure that I'm on top of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I will be reporting on the HR and finance activities in the province. Okay, as you can see, the filled post within the KZN province is 614, and we have 47 vacancies. Our vacancy rate is 5.5, and it is within the public service standard of 10%. As you can see, the breakdown of our posts, 6 SMS, 13 MMS, and mostly start at a lower level during the actual service delivery, 795. Okay, I think this slide came in by mistake into the HR section, but let me just go over it. It deals with the revenue collections in the province. As you can see, we collected 33 million for the 5 months reported there. And just for information, KZN is actually the second largest collector of revenue after housing for the departments. And the spike in June, July, is basically due to the school holidays. Okay, the breakdown of our salary levels, as you can see that we've got the equity male and female as well. We're lacking on the level 9 and 10s, and then 11 and 12s as well. But overall, we've got a higher representativity of females to males, but at middle management level, that's the actual 9 and 10, 9 to 12 levels. Females only make 31%, and we actually, I think that currently when we're doing our recruitment processes for those levels. Disability, we've got 14 officials. We currently at 1.7%, and we need to be at 2%. So the number of posts that we need is actually 6. So out of the 47 vacant posts that we advertised lately, we targeted 15 specific posts for people's disabilities, taking into account the office environment as well. So we did hope to obtain the minimum of 6 posts from those 15 advertised posts that we've serviced. When we, that's just a summary of what we've done. Performance agreements, we are 100%. Performance reports, those are for, the 2% is basically for the stuff that have started after April. Other than that, I think we stand on that one. The provincial labor relations, we've had 2 dismissals for fraud and corruption, and 1 suspension currently for counter-corruption related. matter. Basically, yes, what does it touch on? Corruption can be reduced by implementing segregation of duties and internal control. Currently, KZN, we are under capacitated, and that's why we have a levels of corruption in the province currently. So if we get the fund to get more posts, we can implement controls and segregation of duties and root out corruption. On the recruitment drive, it's the 47 vacant posts that we have. Out of the 47 posts, we shortlisted 12 to date. We've interviewed 12. And the number of posts that we filled within 6 months from the 25. There's two posts that we didn't meet the 6 months minimum requirement to fill posts. And this is because we're trying to address equity in the province. And we've been through the process and we had to re-advertise because we couldn't get the actual equity target group. Employee wellness, we have an official appointment to deal with employee wellness in the province. Those are just some of the activities that we've taken part in just to keep staff morale up to ensure that there's good working relationships. Again, vetting is performed by one official in the province at the deputy director level. He's a very busy man, but from our intention, the bottleneck currently for vetting sits at SSA, the State Security Agency. Most of our officials' documents have been submitted, and we are waiting for the final verification and polygraph test to come through from FFA. On to our budget, which is very small for KZN. Compensation is 206 million. Our goods and services budget for the province is 22.5 million. When we look further, we can see this is as at 14th of August, so we are spending almost in line in where we should be. We should be at 42% at this stage. We're actually at 41% for compensation and 42% at goods and services. The province is struggling. We unfunded with the budget for feed management. Feed management is a problem in the province. As well as furniture and equipment and IT. We're struggling with funding for that. We don't have budget for that. Another problem we are experiencing is the other pay where we are 170%, that is for the leave gratuities and when people are actually resigning and retiring, that will be hopefully covered by the compensation of employees going forward. On the fleet management, KZN has 110 vehicles. 40 of the vehicles are exceeding 150,000 kilometers, which means very problematic fleet currently in the province. So we have 95 functional vehicles. And we have, I think, 153 officers, so you can do the math. Number of vehicles involved in accidents are 15. Of concern, the mobile officers, we've got 17 mobile officers to reach out into the rural areas of KZN. From there, 8 are actually dysfunctional and 9 are functional. From the 8, we've got 3 with engine problems, we've got 2 with accidents, and 3 with satellite problems. Okay, that's just another representation of our fleet. As you can see, there's 23 and 37, that's 60 vehicles under 100,000 kilometers, and then the rest are above 100,000. So it's very old, it's costing us money to maintain the fleet, and we have engaged with head office, who has promised to give us a plan going forward on when fleet will be replaced. Currently, we cannot engage the fleet to get these vehicles, they could be underfunded within the province to obtain these vehicles. On the compliance with the FMA regulation for payment of invoices within 30 days, we have not achieved. We are at 93%. The problem here is basically decentralization. It's improved the turnaround time for officers to actually get their orders and receiving of goods, but due to lack of capacity at the provincial manager's office to perform the function of payments, we are struggling to meet the 100% PFMA deadline. Okay, the taxi transit and security in province. Currently, we have service provider Eastern Guard Security contracted to provide security within the office, within our offices. We've got 117 security guards. This is also limited and a limited resource within the province with so many officers, and we currently working people to pay for to get these get security sorted out within the province. Cash in transit, we've got Fidelity Security Company that's performing cash in transit services, and they're currently collecting at most of our offices. Okay, on the staff engagements, we've got the normal provincial management meeting, SMS on a monthly, then we've got the attendance provincial management meeting, which is the top management meeting, which is quarterly. Then at district level, the DMOs have their monthly meetings with their office managers. Within the province, staff meetings that occur weekly, and then there's a quarterly review meeting which we attend at head office. Okay, and then on the achievements, we've actually got the delegation of authorities. This was this deals direct, specifically with the human resource element, where head office has delegated authority to approve all level 8 and below officials within the province, and this has improved the turn-on times. Birth registration within 30 days, the province is achieving this. It's currently at 102%. Decentralization of SEM, as I said, it shortened the turnaround times for the procurement of goods and services within the office. And then the LRT mock-up campaign. The campaign was held from 11 to 29 May, and I think they achieved all of those targets as well. On the challenges, the major challenge is the delay in procuring office accommodation from public works. Public works is actually a very big hindrance for us currently, and there's questions engaging to them, but things just don't seem to move with them. There's a major problem with Durban Harbour accommodation, where we've got a number of officials sitting in one office in the harbour, the busiest port in Africa, I think so. And yeah, public works is holding up the process there. Late registration of births, number of applications have decreased, and the exercisable number of applications in the rural areas of Umkhonyakule and the Zulu and district municipalities. But then there's continuous LRB mobile campaigns to address those. There's actually a challenge with an approved structure within the provincial manager's office to deal with the payments within 30 days. It's been proposed, and we're hoping that the office will take a decision soon on how to go proceed with that issue. And lastly, the unsuitable office infrastructure which is not aligned to departmental specifications. And this is again with public work where there's nothing in the market currently to actually that we can move in, and that's the proper fit. But it's a problem throughout the country, but we will see how best to address that.
Yeah, I think generally. That work and service delivery must be done with what you have. Never postpone doing work because you are still struggling to get additional results. Can't be. You must continue and do work with what you have, and whatever you are struggling for when you get it, it will actually relieve you or add capacity to do more. And then you can have the Western Cape, Vesta, you're not done on the presentation.
It's not on the presentation, Chairperson. Just to make 3 points, on the cases that we've recorded on for the dismissal, we've got more cases. What delays us from recording them for the purpose of this presentation is the fact that there are still outstanding appeals. That's what the meeting to note that. Then on vetting, our numbers would have been higher than what we've presented. It's the fact that one official we've appointed in the province was involved in an accident, and he has to go through the incapacity leave. So we also experienced some delays. Then coming to mobile units, the budget is not with the province in terms of maintenance of these mobile units. So we entirely depend on head office processes, which also delays us from ensuring that they are all functional. But I would like to clarify, but some of them are drivable, but are not functional in terms of printing on spot the enabling documents. Just a clarity. Chairperson, thank you very much. That's one of the two. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is that covering? You may proceed. We now shifting the key honorable member to that cup.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and thank you for this opportunity to present the report on the Western Cape.
Chair, I'm going to follow the example that you've asked us to do and say within my 7 minutes. I just want to indicate to the members and guests that I'll be doing the overview looking at geographic information, the footprint, capacity. Then with the commission chair, I'll action direct the finance, we'll deal with the resources, the budget aspect. And then I'd like to conclude with the overview of our performance against our APT targets. And then just share some provincial specific projects related to service delivery. As like you're saying as well, Chair, we must look at innovations and ideas, so that's what I want to conclude with the presentation. Sometimes I'm going to skip this to be in line with what you requested, Chair. This overview, all I want to say on this, Chair, is that we have 5 district municipalities and 1 Cape Metro in the Western Cape. The significance of this is that in the city of Cape Town, the Cape Metro, 62% of the population is situated here. So most of our resources in terms of life offices are also in Cape Metro, Chair. So our strategy for service delivery is a bit different for other provinces because of that dynamic for the population in the metro. Also, I need to note here that from 1 April 2015, the Refugee Center and Port of Entry are reporting directly to our head office, but I've included some stuff on the Refugee Center and the Cape Town Harbour in particular. Chair, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it, but suffice to say that in Western Cape, according to SA, almost 90% of the population lives in the urban areas, and that also informs our service delivery strategies. But 10% of the Western Cape is the rural area, and that's what we'll come into later when we look at outreach programs. Chair, this slide also speaks about just more demographic information, the poverty rate, etc., but I'm not going to talk to that one. The uniqueness of... This slide is the dealer management team in the Western Cape, Chair. I should have started by saying, Chair, that I'm not acting, so I'm breaking the trend of my previous colleague has been. Yes, because I'm probably a mess. This is our team, our senior management team. What we have here is 4 SMS members that are vacant. We have the director of finance that's vacant and 3 DM opens. All 3 of those SMS members have concluded the recruitment process and awaiting appointment. So that's the good news on that. We've done our part. The other DMO post is currently being advertised, and the post has not closed yet, so we also deal with that appointment. But that is us. This is just the governance structure we spoke before. Every province has presented. What I want to highlight to the committee is that the provincial consultative forum meetings that are called, that's an important forum for us because there we sit with our labor, organized labor and our own PSA, and we deal with matters relating to employees. So that we make sure there's harmony in the workplace. And also we have a startup here so that deals with meeting our targets and monitoring targets. In terms of our footprint, we have 74 current footprint. There are 27 art offices, and those are 11 mobile units, the offices, facilities, connected is 32, 2 ports of entries, etc. Now, what I've included here, Chair, is just a breakdown for information. So I'm not going to talk to this slide. The first slide actually summarized our footprint. So this is a breakdown for the information of the committee members here to go in their own time. What's important to note here is that we are currently having 16 out of our 27 offices that smart are connected. So it's almost 60% in the Western Cape. This year, we add another 4, which will take us closer to 70% of our office in the Western Cape will have smart staff capability. The other footprint slide here is just to link our district and local municipalities to where we have a presence. Now, in the 23 local municipalities that we have, we have a dedicated full-time offer in 18 of those. In the other side, we service those through mobile units, fixed mobile programs, and as well as hospital connectivity loads. So those are what these 3 sites on the footprint indicate here. So with your permission, I'll just go forward because it's summarized that slide already. The next slide speaks about our mobile units, and unfortunately we have the same problem with all the provinces. Is out of the 11 mobile units we have, 9 are working functional. And 2 are not. And the 2 that are not functioning is because of the generator as well as the satellite. I can also add here, Chair, that 3 of our mobile units last month were deployed to the Eastern Cape to assist for 2 weeks with the outreach program for LRBs in the Eastern Cape, and that returns now. But our mobile units, especially in the metro, we have changed how we service the metro with the mobile units because we do not want to continue with the green book. So in the metro, our mobile units are predominantly used to register births at high volume hospitals in the Western Cape. So this is the hospitals we have. We have 32 connected hospitals. 24 of them are in urban areas, and 8 is in the rural areas. And unfortunately, same with all the provinces, 13 of those have connection problems. So 13 out of the 32. And as part of the question that was raised earlier is what we do is we set our mobileness because birth registration is one of the strategically key targets for homelessness because once you get birth registered within 30 days, that helps you clean up and to fuel the national population register. And anything else flows from the birth registration, artists, etc. So that's why it's important that our resources and our focus should be on getting to the hospitals, making sure that the mothers don't leave without those babies being registered. So we've also placed 12 officials full-time at hospitals, dedicated there. They sit there. They, in the morning, they don't come to office. They go to the hospital, report there, and work the whole day there in those hospitals as well. But I'll come to the strategy later as well and how we're trying to achieve the hospital target. This is the hospital in summarize, I'm not going to go into detail with this. Indicated also those hospitals with IT problems. Some of the problems we have is connected, but the VPN is a bit unstable. So the 3G is also a solution that we're working with our head office on this. So I'll also go through the information slides and get to the next one. Here that deals with, this is how we measure our hospital optimization. What this slide indicates is a high volume of hospitals in the Western Cape. So what it indicates is that we look at the first quarter of last financial year, and compare to the first quarter of this financial year and see what's the result, how we are optimized. This slide indicates that the first quarter of last year, we registered almost 6,000 births. This year, we registered 7,500 births. So it's an increase of 1,500 births in these hospitals, which means that our optimization plan has yielded some positive results. This is how we measure whether we're meeting the target or not. Some of the challenge and indicators is that we can improve on is the mobile unit deployment and sometimes the efficiency of hospitals where a particular hospital run out of space. Also, they will give us the office that's not so close to the maternity ward. So that's very important, the office space that's allocated to you, especially we have problems in Stellenbosch and Kingsbury Hospital with space. Some of the way forward and how to mitigate the challenges here on birth registration in particular is, as I said, start reporting directly at these hospitals. We come up with science. So once you give us after hours and homophobia is not there, we ask the hospital to take the detail of that particular person. Then we follow up the next day or the next week for that person to come back to register that baby in those hospitals. So awareness program is important, as well as the closer to maternity wards, as I said, as well as stakeholders. Your department of health, your nurses are very important stakeholders. Your clinics, your aftercare facilities, because they need to create awareness and be ambassadors for home affairs to request the mothers. Once you've given birth, you have to go and register within those 30 days. Okay, this slide, again, deals with hospitals. Connectivity, these are the metrics that we are going to, that we're in the process of optimizing. Optimizing is saying that these are the next 6 high-volume hospitals in the Western Cape. We're now going to focus on them in addition to the other 32 to make sure that we get maximum registration at these hospitals. So they are the names from Hermanus and ending in Mitchell's Plain Pacific Hospital. Okay, this deals with our leases. We have 23 private properties and 3 state owned. The 3 state owned is in Kai Lita office, Stellenbosch and Customs, and Kai last year and this year we spent a lot of resources in modernizing and having a smart cut layout for that office chair, and it's probably one of the best offices, and as we hear more from what apparently which the minister will come and launch in the month of either later this month or October. And then in terms of space, in Citadel, Lancer, the Cape Town Airport Power offices, we've been offered additional space, so that's where we're moving forward on those accommodations. Problematic areas is Mitchell's Plain, Stellenbosch office, because there's a land institution plan involved with Stellenbosch office. in there. The good news is actually in this month, October and before the end of the year, we'll have new offices for Somerset West, which will open, and we'll also invite the Minister, will open chair, and we'll invite the Portfolio Committee through the Minister. In October, we'll have Camden new office opening and Dove office, which has been one of our headaches, because there's so many occupational health and safety issues at that office. By the end of September, we have a new office in Dove as well. The business construction as we speak here. Capacity. In terms of capacity, we have 5.99% vacancy. We have 668 full posts or posts on establishment, and 94% of those posts are filled. What I need to say here, Jay, is that what we filled in the month of August and November, we filled close to 50 posts. Most of them are promotions, and some have been new appointees as well. The promotions is important for upward mobility to the supervisory posts of those dedicated, hardworking officials that we want to reward. So that's the upside of the coin is great, more vacancies if you afford internal staff. So while your vacancies come down as you put internal, but we are prepared to follow that because it's important that there's upward mobility in the province and in the offices as well, Chair. Important on this night to indicate as well is that we appointed 13 more immigration officers and 2 assistant directors, which is managers for immigration. And this is going to assist us to develop our own program of action for inspectors. There is reliance on Operation Sierra because it's daily, weekly operations. But with capacity we've created, and it's the first time that we have now immigration in Caledon, Worcester, Beaufort West, Mossel Bay, and Friedendale. These are outlining areas identified the need to also get immigration out the HA. So that's what we've accomplished, and now we're working on the program of action to make sure that we can augment the operation data when it stops, that we can run our own programs as well. In terms of equity staff, Chair and members, what we have as part of the achievement for us is if you look at disability. Let me start with disability because that's a good story. As you can see, we've grown in 2012. We came to Portfolio Committee and we were almost to a low number. We were 1.4%, not meeting a 2% target. Last year, we actually made 2.3%. We were applauded. This time, with overseas, we now at 3.3%, and I think it's the highest for the disabled persons. And it's not only at lower levels. If you look at the breakdown distribution, the post level is even at level 9 and 10, assistant directors are disabled persons. So it's not only at the lower levels, Chair. It shows you that it's possible. Also, if you look at gender, Chair, the breakdown is in yellow, but as a summary, 63% of the staff in Western Cape are female, compared to 37% is male. So the females are almost two-thirds majority in the Western Cape, Chair. On training, these are the types of training we embarked on through the Learning Academy. These are the training, report writing, conflict management, which is a very important aspect because here we also struggle with downtime of the system and correct family clients. So you need to equip yourself also to deal with those conflict situations because really it's becoming a problem, as you indicated, Chair, with downtime. So conflict management, we have training there. Diversity management is coming in September. Operations management, soft skills training today we've also embarked on. Those are stress management, the soft skills type of communication skills, etc. that's been brought on. Just at the bottom here, computer skills. Our head office has approved a training room for computers for the Western Cape. So we'll create in Direct Street a facility for 20 computers. So we'll have our own computer training center here in Cape Town office. In terms of wellness, wellness is an area that we focus on. Wellness is the area that we focus on, Chair, because wellness is important for a healthy mind, a healthy body, and also to feel staff appreciated. So we have a good wellness official, and these are just some of the programs we've been running for that quarter and up to now. It's the men's health, candlelight ceremony, women's outreach program, and the Women's Day events, and also my Diva Day project, Chair. So just included some photos. And these are the targeted groups and the attendees. As you can see, Chair, in the Women's Day event, 185 employees attended that event. This is just some more Matika Day projects we've had at children's homes and hospitals. These are the men's health activities, the candlelight ceremony in Beaufort West, the women's day activities, etc. In terms of corruption and betting debt, this is just a breakdown of the first quarter in terms of country corruption. We see 12 cases. 9 have been finalized, 3 are still on hand, some have been found unfounded, there's been misconduct cases, etc. That's just a breakdown of the test. So the target to finalize country corruption cases, to finalize it, not to find those who are corrupt, to finalize the cases reported at 62% share. We finalized 9 out of the 12, which is 75%, which we overachieved on that target as well. We've got a unit of 2 senior counter-corruption officials who are very active. I need to also indicate that they've been requested to do investigations at head office and other provinces as well. So out of the 11 out of 12 cases have already been referred to discipline management, which is labor relations, because one counter-corruption has done investigation, labor relations need to complete. This is just a breakdown on a pie chart on where these cases are prevalent. Mostly it's in the metro because that's where most of the staff is, as I said when I started here. In terms of betting, for this quarter, 24 cases have been finalized, 6 secret and 18 confidential. What we have vetted in the Western case so far, 286 officials have been vetted. Those are finalized cases. 243 are in progress and there's still 193 to go. Now, in terms of resource and budget, with your permission, Chair, can I just hand over to the Director of Finance to take us to slide on this?
Okay,
Mr. Please. Thank you, Chair President, and honorable members. The Western Cape government has been allocated with a total budget of 1,123,513,000 rand, which is allocated to 159,000 is allocated to compensation of employees, 13,647 were allocated to compensation goods and services. Currently, during the third quarter, we were at an expenditure of 24%, which is slightly lower than the linear projected expenditure of 25% for that time. The reason for that was that we struggled with access to the system because one of our vendors in the supply chain left and we couldn't. We had a backlog in capturing requisitions from our offices, but that has been cleared now. And as end of July, we were standing at 41% expenditure trend to against the 30% linear expenditure that was expected at that time. Our funding pressures was basically as a result of the approval of the previous financial year that we had retained this first. Big funding pressure towards G-Fleet and fleet costs and also travelling. It's quite expensive to travel from Cape Town to Johannesburg to Pretoria to attend meetings there. It's the most expensive of all the provinces and we're spending quite a lot of money in there. We have in an instance implemented cost reduction measures where we limited the number of employees attending meetings in head office, and we've also recently installed a video conferencing system within our offices, just waiting for other offices to also connect to that. We foresee an estimated over expenditure of approximately 7 million rand, that's mostly towards our fleet cost, and we are in the process of engaging our head office on that matter. Then in terms of revenue management, we have managed to reduce our bank accession from 3.3 million to 3.3 million in June 2015 to 271,000 in August 2015. The actions that we took to address those bank accessions was we had interaction with Fidelity, who is responsible for our cash and transfer. The pickup is reported to the province and we share information in order to comply to contractual commitments. Revenue collected per district is all totaled up to approximately 20 million rand, which and the breakdown is tabled in your information pack. Then in terms of management of assets and supply chain functions, the province has 15,357 assets. We have managed to procure 171 additional assets, which we are re-uploading. At the end of the quarter one, we were left with 199 assets that was unverified. We do have loss reports and reports towards booking assets. In terms of audits, we had audit inspection at Kazan International Airport, Kazan Large Office, as well as the Balboa Office. There wasn't any significant findings in terms of revenue. It was basically just the IRE as the basic accounting system that does not speak to each other. As well, in terms of audit verification, there was only discrepancies on serial numbers, not just discrepancies on the condition and discrepancies on description, but we are tending to that through the monthly maintenance of the audit register. We are currently in process of half-yearly physical asset reviews. In terms of the payment of invoices, at the end of June, we stood at 93%. This is one of the areas that we did not achieve. We are looking into the fine detail to see what is the result, what is the reason for us not meeting that target. It was only in May that we managed to achieve 100%. And we found that most of those are errors. When they capture the invoices on the system, they would capture the year or the date incorrectly, and that contributed to this. We now, in terms, we've developed a strategy and to improve the turnaround time, and we indicated that we'll have consequence management for those erroneous capturing. We also implemented the early warning system to see the age analysis of our invoices and send to the oldest ones. We also implemented a dispute register where we would not capture disputed invoice directly or invoices directly on the system. The province has 87 vehicles to its disposal. There's a breakdown. Currently, as of thousands of vehicles was identified for branding, and we're waiting for head office. We want to have integration more visible provinces in the district, and therefore we are going to grant those vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I see 6 minutes left, so let me Okay, thank you. So the next few slides are in there, Chair. I want to go to the target now. The Cape Town Harbor is also in there. So in terms of our NGP targets, I've spoken to many of them, like the birth targets. In the first quarter, we were 4% that we couldn't attend to or reach, but we are in the process of reaching that target. The other target, in terms of smart cards, we've overachieved. The high impact outreach we had in October, so aggressive charge we've overachieved. We've achieved our target on direct deportations. We've achieved our target on frozen marriages, Chair. We have achieved our employer's charge. It's a target we have not achieved, which we were fell short by 4 employers we could not charge, but that will make up in the second quarter because our mode of immigration officers were deployed to Operation Biela. The transfers to Lindela, we've achieved that target as well. And then, as Ms. Annabelle indicated, we did not achieve a payment within 30 days. But this is through us managing this process better, which is an area we must improve on this quarter coming. And this is just a summary of the smart card. This is, again, for birth. We fell short by 926 births out of 20,000 that we didn't register the share. So that we need to make up in the second quarter. The special project, this is the last few slides here. The first one on credit management, this is for us important area that we deal with credit, so we set up a credit desk, it's dedicated, we created emails to deal with credit as well. The second one, this is just a template on how we deal with credit to make sure that we analyze them. Here the slide, like 65, this is a telephone, because that's also an area where there's a lot of complaints on that we don't answer our telephones, and this is how we monitor complaints from our different offices with the telephones. We have updated our website to make sure that there's more lines for every office for the clients to phone. This is just a template on how we monitor the telephone. So we phone our own offices ourselves in different times of the day, and then the managers must account when the office will phone to us not answer checks. The other one deals with, this one was more updated. Share. This is important. This is, we have smart systems, so we need smart staff as well. We need staff that can improve the client experience, so this is what we focus on. We've developed
We've appointed multiple champions for head office and logistics. We also develop templates how we're going to measure, as well as a rating sheet for clients when they come into the office, rate the experience they had in the office there. The third part of multiple we can focus on is service with a smile. It's just a basic change. Is when you come into the office, you must be greeted with a smile. You must be said, good morning, good afternoon, and how can I help you? Not wake up, how are you? Nothing that's going to be prescribed or respond to clients when they walk into the office chair. This is just to show that we have a program where we reward good performance if we get a recommendation compliment from clients, like an honorable magistrate in our office and compliment one of our officials. In the management meeting, then we bring that official there and we compliment that official and we provide a certificate in front of all the managers. This is just an indication. And as we outreach there, we're going to have the different outreach program. The question was also asked about that. So we have it in many informal areas in the month. In the first quarter, this is just the indication of we went Makassar, Mangi Town, the Lowry South, Nonlamo, the One Day, Horse Ground, and we work with other government departments like Sata Agriculture, Egmont Settlement, etc. This is the tablet we use to keep our tax share. This is just some total evidence record that we've been in those areas here on those outreach programs. Just some indicator, a farming outreach we had, which was created by our youth forum in the region of area bounds, and the number of LRB applications taken in and ID applications as well. And this was driven purely by our youth. What we have here is all the areas. We have 74 areas we're targeting for October for the LRB. Getting in line, Jay, the registration period is coming up in November for the local government election. So we're targeting on those areas that need more services. Then the last slide, two slides, Jay, is about public service month of September. We have embarked with that now in September. So this is the top plan on how we're going to distribute ideas, go to high schools, information sessions, farming areas, deploying of SMA staff members to the front line, not in the offices, opening offices on Saturday, and outreach programs in the province again. On that note, thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. The one crucial point about Roma Fair is that when a person submits a farm application for some civic documents, some officer look at the application and then make a some decision. I think that was kind of a decision. But then that decision is not communicated back to the applicant. That is just chronic, right through the whole office of the process. People have to fall to get an update on the application. If they don't fall, I could have it. I think that's the one thing that we must find a way of dealing with it. Because some of the phone calls are unwarranted. We can't create those phone calls to happen by just simply not communicating the outcome of our processing of their application. Honorable members, I think we have had the two provinces, and then Honorable Maxson, and then Honorable Hussein wants to give accolades, I think, today, and then Honorable Kenya, and then Honorable Nancy, and then Honorable Gumede. Of course, but Honorable Hussein, I am aware of what Mr. Eustace Simons has done to avoid speaking to the Indian quarter of the staff. Probably maybe they'll accept to register the Indian party or possibly the Indian township to actually improve the numbers.
But sure, I think Honorable Hussein has come up because Kevin and he's saying it with the thing. I must also very upfront that these two managers who just presented, our favorite managers, Ishango, I'm from David M. Where is she? Oh, hi. And we have been communicating with Mama Faith and put on record share that she has been very helpful. When you called her, she responded very well. Same goes to the provincial manager of everything. I think I did say in front of the DJ as well. Western Cape are even visited their offices. They are so much of help. Nevertheless, we are here to do a presentation and we have to expect us to do some clarification. Sisnosif, on your organogram, who comes from my home in the case of them? Monu Shamin. But the clarification is something for sure is that then, when you look at the strat, Jamin and Unzimundo was said twice. I don't know why. Maybe you can clarify each one. And you mentioned that out of 17 mobile offices, only 8 are functioning. And to me, those mobile offices are very important to go and visit our community. So if it's only 8 out of 17 that is functioning, it poses a serious challenge. Maybe you can be clarified why. The support staff under counter corruption is only 2. Why is it? Because I think corruption in this department is very, very, very bad. Although I concur with you, Chairperson, and the Honorable Gamete, when he says, let us give a proper report when we come here. We stay with communities. We know what is happening in the department. But all of this department has presented here, they are painting a picture that there is no corruption in the department. I don't know. But one day, I think we'll find the truth. Let us hope this report is a true reflection on corruption. But I'm very worried I need the clarity on the counter-corruption department in KZN, which is only 2 support staff. Why is that? The smart IT is not achieved. Again, I think it was the same case in Kumalang and so on. Maybe Umishan will also clarify it. You spoke about during the Nokoka that you think so much. But my question is this. Now we are praising that Operation Gala again, of which I have made very clear here. That Operation Gala is counter-revolutionary. And I found it very difficult for the oil department to praise of Operation Gala. So now the question that I'm leaving for you is that because KZN was worse in terms of xenophobia, we all even went to the political parties. I went with my students there. So what plans do you have in place as the department? Leave alone that Operation Fela, because to me, the counter-revolutionary action approach is the department now. What plans do you have? Some human resources, although Mr. Singh tried to justify that in the process of 6 months, to me, 6 months is very long. Why is the process taking too long? Shouldn't those taken this process? Lastly, Chair, on the table, and this partnership with the Queen, of which Ms. Shandu is doing well and good, but my question would be, what does our people on the ground, our people on the ground, what are they achieving with this partnership? What is their intention to achieve on the ground? My provincial manager of the Western Cape, I'm with you now. Yes, of course. I have also said to the committee that I have personally visited your offices here. I think your officials, they abide by the very correctly. But when you also on your slide, you have mentioned something about capacity that you need to attend to. I agree with you. I also said in the committee that I think the department, the officials in the department, they need more training on some sort because your 2 officials there, they were having a different understanding on how to implement some of the policies. I think you must also tend to this one, it's very important. Officials under one roof, they can't have different information on how to take the thing. That's one I agree with you. 16 out of 27 smart cards connected, achieved. Also, this number is becoming very worried. I think we're going to also clarify them. You said 21 private land that is accessible in terms of getting offices. Only 3 state-owned land available. I think you'll agree with me when I say high time only, yes, the thing is cooperation plan without conversation is the solution. We are having 21 private lands or buildings that is available. Only 3 state owned who are having a disaster. I think we must have cooperated land without conversation. I think I made a point on fraud. Because we are telling us that only 12 cases have been registered on fraud. I'm not sure, but here I'll take a word for it. It's very worrying, Professional Manager, when you are putting on skill gaps. You even mentioned that there is the reporting writing skills that is lacking in the department. And I saw on the slide. It is very worrying. You can't expect an official lacking the skills, writing skills. I think we must also address that. I just want to get a clarity on the thing of port of entry, reporting directly to his office. What impact does it have at the commercial level? Or does not affect you at all? Because my understanding is that reporting directly to HQ, I think we are going to have much challenge. But you will be very kind to me. On page 58, Commercial Manager, again, the operational Sierra. You correctly captured by saying it resulted in insufficient capacity to surveil local businesses. So I think I'll be repeating what I have said about Operation Sierra, and I'm glad that it's coming out slowly, slowly to say it's not solving any problem, but it's counter-operational agency.
I hope other members are not going to follow that example. Otherwise, we won't be able to have time for the IEC legislation. And if you could assist me, that we quickly get over this and get to that other one before we go to the House. Honorable Hussein.
Thank you. I'm going to focus my comments on Christian mostly to KwaZulu-Natal, and you'll understand why.
We
have got a footprint and that's an interest. But let me also say that my only question, Kipa, and I must say that the court has been fabulous, and thank you for the support that you get from your office. Chair, let me, we've gone through quite a number of provinces now, and and generally, we had good reports in terms of some key indicators on how each province is performing. But having gone through this, I wondered whether there is always an opportunity for provinces to actually measure their performance in terms of customer satisfaction, because the reality on the ground, what we often get from members of the public is very different from what's happening here. And I know that you're measuring yourself on some key indicators, but that's the one indicator that for us as members of parliament is very critical, and I won't go into too much of detail, but it will be very interesting for you to conduct in your own exercise what the levels of customer satisfaction is out there. And if you just have to look at online and in newspapers, and Home Affairs is very often in the media for all the wrong reasons, which then brings me to the point that I want to make about KwaZulu-Natal. And recently there were two incidents that were in the media. The one involving a Home Affairs official that apparently assaulted a client in Amgeni Road, which did its rounds and it got quite a lot of coverage, and I'd like to hear whether that matter has been resolved in this investigation and where is it now. The second involves also an official from the very same office, Amgeni Road, who is alleged to have been involved in selling a fraudulent ID not too long ago. I think you might be familiar with that case. And there's a number of other cases that I can quote on, but I'll just refer to those two now to make this point, actually, and that the impression I get from the Amgeni Road office is that it's not the flagship office for the Home Affairs Department. There's all sorts of complaints in terms of the quality of service, the general attitude of the staff, the long queues that are there, and I'd like to hear your comments on whether or not you're satisfied with the quality of service that the public is receiving from the Amgeni Road office. Then, Chair, the commercial road office is equally problematic when it comes to smart IDs and a massive long queues that you get there, up to 300-400 people in a day. And it doesn't come as a surprise to me that we've overachieved the target of smart IDs because there's a good demand there. I don't get the impression that from a senior management level that you're capable of managing the demand at this stage. And It's not a bad thing that you're getting lots of people coming forward for the IVs, but it is a bad thing that it doesn't show that you're able to manage it, and I'd like to hear what your response on that is. Then the late registration of births campaign, which is excellent. We all agree that we must make sure that every person is registered. But then you've got, if I'm not mistaken, on slide 15, you've got 3,000 odd. Not collected. So all of this effort in communicating to people why it's important that they need to register their children within 30 days, and so you get that done, but then they don't fetch the IDs or the birth certificates, and you're sitting with it, and what are you doing to get it out? Otherwise, all of that effort is wasted. The same applies in the case of 7,000 IDs that are not collected. I'm talking with the smart IDs. When we're approaching a local government election, there's lots of people that are going to have their IDs. And I was impressed with the plan that the Western Cape had in place to try and get them out of the office. There was nothing in your presentation that talks about what your plans are to get rid of the 7,000 IDs and put them into the box of the applicants. On slide 26, I noticed there's very poor performance in terms of the transgressors in the Utungulu and Ilembe district. I mean, 37% in comparison to 325% for Zululand in Kanyakuri is massive. Yeah, there surely must be a reason. I'd like to hear your response on that. You mentioned very briefly that there are some financial challenges with the MOU that was signed with the Tigrayan. If you can please just expand on that one. So there's one other point that I've forgotten to raise with Commercial Road. There was also an article recently on the long queues and the story that was doing its rounds is that there's insufficient number of staff that actually manning the ID counters. And that particular day, there were about 300 people in the queue, but yet there was only one person, one counter open for IDs. The similar story was with prospecting offices as well. And then generally, there seems to be a problem with toilets in all of these offices. Why? It's a problem I get often here. Yesterday, I got it from Black Street and Prospect and Commercial Road and all of that. Something must be wrong if we almost say can't manage a single toilet company in the city. You know, those little things that actually make that impact on the quality of service that you're able to deliver. And the last point I want to make is this, Jim. Almost every single province that came to do a presentation, led us to the province of Operation Vienna, which I want to say is very impressive because you're achieving something. But what I find is a great contradiction is that as a government, and I'm not asking you to respond to this, the political statement, is that the minister, the president, everybody else denies that Operation Fiona was targeting illegal immigrants. The truth is here, very clear. Every single province has given us figures as far as how many illegal immigrants have been arrested, deported, sent to Manila, and yet every government is saying we're not targeting illegal immigrants. So the reality is, it's here, that's on the document. Thank you, Chair. You can decide to respond when you
want. Yeah. I'm sure that they need to be protected from those political statements. That's why, also, even Honorable Martin understood it clearly. There are certain statements that the officials are not expected to respond to political statements. And then we know where we are going to have it. And then there is a big stadium called National Assembly. That's where we do those things. And we'll invite them, we'll go there and do it. It is fine. Honorable Kenya.
Thank you for the presentation, both of them. I think most of my questions have been asked. Just to say on the issue of mobile business, talk about the 17 of them, but and then 9 are non-functional. And we have taken on a slide on that by saying it is due to accommodation challenges. Now, what plans do you have? Right, what plans do you have here to keep this that is guilty? What plans are there in place to protect the situation? Also on the vetting, I think there is a nail on the side of director. But I don't understand, who does the vetting? Each team, there is nobody in the structure. No, Kalogan. Also, there is a challenge. There's a challenge of high number of decision of beds. But on page 54, on your improvement, you talk about improvement of access to service delivery and service delivery and access to access to services. What is allowed is that a contract is similar. So when you say that service delivery, on the other hand, and improved access, but at the same time, it is a high need of that you are not in the borderline areas. That is the case that you can get access, you can get in touch. So my question would be, is there no need for the mobile office in that regard, in the border? And instead of Mutubatuba, yes, I have said that you said that because of fire, but what is the next step if you say that it has been closed? What is the next step for those communities so that they can also access the delivery? And you talk about challenge on a short notice to inform offices for deployment in your challenges. Page 35. Which deployment? I'm talking about so that we understand short notice is due to the short notice. That the problem was which department is the problem? Which department is taken up? Are we talking about? On page 80, the SAPSR system is vital for deportation. As the challenge of lack of transportation. Now, my question is, yes, I understand that you are maybe a running short of the river, but now at the same time, must make ends meet. My question is that, have you got a future plan for I don't know whether to speak for the repair of records or for the more records. Also, lastly, I'm going to talk about the operation failure. Differently, where we there? Actually, let me say, yes, this means the phobia. When we were there, we were there to find the records of violence against foreigners. Because we didn't see any kind of xenophobia. Because xenophobia means explicit. But what we noticed, there was a lot of problems which people had come down there as citizens of the country. Not necessarily related to being hinted, but related to the competition amongst the competition of businesses amongst the suburban locals and the foreign nationals. In that instance, there were got a report that there are ID booths which were running up around with one of the foreign nationals. And by that time we were there, we didn't hear much happened to those. If that person was caught or not, maybe it has come to your. If you know about that. And also, when we were there, we were probing the violence against the foreign nationals. Also, there were those refugees who were detained and later released. And as I said, now I'm looking at the fraud and corruption. When we were there, what we had now is 35 of them have been released. So 343 is in the inner farm, kept in a farm there. Did you go to check, because those people, most of them were undefended. Did you go yourself to look, or did you go yourself, because we had that report on the day. Did you go yourself to look what is happening? in terms of the documentation of those foreign nationals who are there, and are they still there? Because people said that they are now there. Now I can take 243. I should check if it's that such. Any emails in that regard? A question came. What are the allowed plans for modernization of offices not yet upgraded? Also, this is to talk about the eviction. The DHA has been evicted. It's failed us. Hospital. Now, what are the reasons for the eviction? Also, only what plans are being used to address the non-action of the mobile clinic of the mobile offices? And talk about any of the findings in the audit has been concluded at the effort, at the KTL effort. But there are findings like discrepancies in real numbers and my question is, were you audited for the 2014 smoking? Thank you.
Thank you very much, and Honorable Mayor, I hope you could go to assist me.
Lord, I'm going to assist you, Captain, because I think most of everything would be saying to what I've said myself. I'm in the urban college. My interpretation would say, our purpose in the operation here might be that. But where I come from, my experience with operation here, an activist was killed 15 years ago, and the firearm was not found, the firearm was not found, and nobody was arrested. But last year, someone was arrested with that firearm, and the case is on, and everything has been proved. It was that night. And that is a local person, it's not a foreigner. But what I would say to us as members of this committee is that I don't think that the Operation Sierra must continue. It must be taken out to the game reserves that are surrounding us. Because there are many, many firearms which must not be registered or licensed, because they are coming with foreigners in this country. Not African foreigners, the owners of those game reserves. And that's why it needs to be accepted. That's what I would say. To assist us so that everything is being done, so that we deal with crime. This is what I've experienced. Of a man that was killed, nobody was arrested, but that still was arrested. Lastly, I'll say, on this issue of all these departments, I'm very happy about this report that we are taking. Very happy. Within if I know as in your offices, I've seen that things have been happening, and how things have been done. Take the turn, I've heard about the Operation Suguma package, and but the bottom line is, our people are not saying what they are saying. They are still complaining, you don't know why. So for me, I'll pass that just to the committee, but at some point, as we are sitting all, I mean, the province, we rather need to go there where we have not gone, so that we can look into what things are being said here, and why people are still complaining while the departments are giving us proper reports. But I think the most people that we need to talk to is the National Department. I don't understand this thing of shifting a person from being a direct Sigmund Scholar, district manager, yeah, and then you take that person to act in another position, and then you take another one to go and act in that position where you shifted that person where she was behind or he was behind. I mean, I think we won't find proper stability in this department if this thing is being done, and we find a person working or being a manager in two districts. I think that needs to be sorted. I think if you can communicate with your head so that they understand and ourselves too as a committee, we raise it to the department at the national level, that this thing must come to an end. Otherwise, if you listen to the report of the Western Cape, it's clear there's a lot that they are doing. There's a lot that we are doing also there. But when you are acting, how do you become so committed? I think I'm worried about that. So if we want to see the same situation happening across country, I think we need to tell the different department that the soldiers, yesterday, this thing of acting must come to an end. These women which have been acting, why they can't be, I mean, they will have, why should we act for 4 years if you can be given, I mean, that task? That's the but all those are my comments. Otherwise, I don't need any answers. I'll get them next time.
Okay. Yeah, we'll meet with the people that are supposed to take those decisions. Honorable Gumede, let me start with Honorable Kenya because Luka has got a very one question.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just wanted to check in.
Sorry to correct myself, Honorable Apunchi.
In KwaZulu-Natal, the Sukumasake, the impact of that Sukumasake, and especially when we had that kind of some challenges during that attack, and what are the impacts of that Sukumasake? And even with this dysfunctional reactor, are they not hampering with the service delivery in the area? And in Western Cape, because this is a very problematic kind of area, especially with agent type children passport, like before, of small, what was the remedy here about that? Because after that, they moved to the papers if ever they were not assisted or with that agent passport, because that we can see that agent has passport in the land. What is it? Mr. Simon, is it? Yeah, they wanted an agent passport for the child. So, if I want an agent passport, can I get it? How long? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede.
Thanks, Honorable. We have to, even if the questions are not answered, then the chairperson manages how they are answered. Firstly, I commend the department on meeting the day-to-day department in both departments for payment of invoices. Two, the issue of stakeholder relationships that is in both the provinces, that is KwaZulu-Natal in the form of Sukumasake and then in the province in the Western Cape, also meeting different stakeholders in order to interact shows that we are beginning to become people-centered, because we are, the reason we are there is that we are there to serve people and there is nothing wrong to it, and then the more we appreciate it, I think the better for delivering it will be. And then my question would be around the issue of CETA, particularly CETA downtimes, how do they affect your performance? Quite often in KwaZulu-Natal, I visited a number of offices, I encountered this problem, they were on downtime, CETA, and then in one instance it was around cable theft, and then there was the same issue in the Western Cape as well. And then the issue of these interruptions, I think they've got to be quantified in order to be addressed by the government as such. Is the issue of the inspectorate. In the Western Cape, there was a shortage of inspectors when we visited there. And then inspectors are people that deliver services around the problematic issue of immigration. How is the situation around that now? In the Northern Cape, there was a problem of a shortage of uniforms. Are you experiencing a shortage of uniforms for inspectors, which might have a problem in the morale of the staff well, and if it is so, perhaps you may give us that picture. Lastly, the issue of transfers and subsidies. What accounts for 222% in the expenditure in the Western Cape? If perhaps you could give us a breakdown, and then how are you mitigating that, and how do you project that area into the future? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Of course, it's just now we're no longer having a lot of time. And just simply to highlight one thing is that when you engage in an outreach program for data registration of it, it looks like a lot of data are registering more. You're picking more. And then from my side, then I can say that when you don't do it, then you are missing a lot. And then that has got an impact on the December 2015 deadline. It's a consequential thing. It doesn't need rocket science. If ordinarily on month-to-month basis for late registration, you are doing so many, now you go on the outreach, then you have got now more bigger that you actually have. That means if you stop the outreach, then there are those that you are missing, which will still surface after December 2015. Then in other ways is that you'll be throwing the book in the face of the minister to say, no, you can't stop LRP in December. That's what you're doing. Which means that you must actually reconsider our outreach program. If they are yielding results, then they must be continued. So that you actually clear and make it possible for us to end the project of LRPs by December 2015. Otherwise, you then tell the minister and say, no, that's not possible. So that maybe you can have an opportunity to get a new manager if you can't leave. You see? Yes. The other thing, of course, the general thing, the distribution of immigration inspector in a district. We know that their numbers are not adequate, but whatever problems you may be having. But then, over and above the shortage of numbers, we also have a problem of not distributing them correctly. Certain areas, completely, there is no inspector. Then you have SAPS functioning as your immigration inspector. Then you have your own staff officers then functioning as inspector because they have that simply to do a thumb inspection and check. So, for them, they don't have all the power of arresting and doing all these other things. Then you must just try to choose the distribution of that human resource and make sure that it's available as when it is required at the right place. And then I think maybe I should give you the same principle to apply that all the questions that have been raised and then together with any additional questions that the Office of the Secretary would email or fax to yourself, then you can have comprehensive responses to that. And then within 7 days, that is next week when you have got an opportunity on Tuesday, then we'll actually be ensuring that you have collated all the responses so that you are able to write our report. And then please don't miss that deadline. Within 7 days, you should have received your responses to those questions. But then I'm going to give yourselves 3 minutes each to respond to those questions, whether holistically or otherwise, but you will expect a written response to all of them. First up. So, first up is Kuberi in KZN?
Yes.
Thank
you very much, Chair. In person of witness, 41 questions and comments. But I'll take note of the chair's advantage will be expected to respond in writing. But I'll just highlight and touch a few within the minutes that have been allocated, starting with the examiners. Chairperson, I want to indicate that there is no process in KZN, and these examiners, they even arrived before our former minister, who is the chairperson of the AU now.
And the reason Mimi has served the department for more than 25 years. Mr. Damini was just been recently promoted last year to the DO post. But one of the long-serving officials who's been managing Mugeni Road, the one that is famous. Then Dr. Damini joined the department in 2008 on the same level as a director from the Department of Education, just to give you that information. And then the second one, Mugumundo, for duplicate, I would like to apologize to the person for the duplicate. I managed to actually correct this on the condition that was displayed on the screen. It's a duplication. It's a green instead of Mugumundo. My sincere apologies on that one. Then the issue of the mobile unit, Chairperson, I want to indicate that there is a plan at a national level which will be announced by the minister officially when we finally manage to secure funding for the project. We are looking at upgrading our mobile unit. And looking at the amount that we spend for the repair on this one, really, it's not affordable, we're not affording as a government. And that's indicated in my presentation that the budget sits with the head office. So there are some processes in place and strategies in order to deal with this one and trying to accommodate the issue of the IT card card on our mobile unit. So I just want to leave it there. And the other one, support on corruption. This is a national competency, but the major challenge that we have is that the activities are taking place on the ground, and the department is also looking at actually prioritizing this post. But as we speak, in the province, we only have three officials. Except for ones who actually acknowledge and admit that they are running around like headless chickens. There is so much happening in the department in terms of the reports that are getting from the public and our officials within the department, and it has they are not coping, especially with the turnaround time. So this is the method that is being handled by her office. And then I want to talk on the corruption in the department. I simply admit, and with my whole heart, that there is more corruption in the department, reported and not reported, within the, especially within the urban surroundings, Umgeni. I think our officials at times, they are, it's twofold. There are those syndicates that are operating without the involvement of our officials. There are those syndicates that work closely with our officials. I think the recent reported cases, Chairperson, I would like to indicate that our officials are very much vigilant. In the previous report, there are four arrests that were made in different days, 2 days on each, when they came to register fraudulent burden. Our officials picked it up to the level where the official of health is directly involved within their surroundings. In the latest arrest that the segment referred to, the Honourable Member, I do agree, even on Saturday, the last Saturday, was an arrest of our long-serving officials who actually inflated the amount of the immigrant travel certificate to 500 instead of 140. And fortunately enough, our supervisors were vigilant, actually contacted the office manager, and there was a setup for the person to bring the money on Saturday, as agreed upon with our own officials who currently are there. So there are lots of cases, just as you remember my comment, the figures here are not actually reflecting what the current state has, but who are just delayed by the appeals and others are still not yet finalized. But there is high level corruption, especially within the building surroundings, including high town offices, but the department is looking into this. Then relating, I'm just having a few. The last one I'll talk to this. Okay, the last one is on the queues, the level of quality service that is provided in Dinomugeni. We actually set as a province. And we have come up with a service delivery improvement plan specifically for Italy and surrounding. And that plan is replicated to other districts. But right now, the planning issues, complaints, and queries are coming from there and surrounding. So that's a plan that has been actually tabled to our minister, who actually shared with all the relevant stakeholders. This is a matter of concern in Haven. And thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you
very
much. Thank you,
Chair.
I think
that's
the Honourable
Madam
and Honourable Senior question about the smart card and the modernization rollout. The department has a certain number of offices to be modernized. This year 38. Currently we have 16. For Western Cape we have additional 4. We now have 60%. When we add additional 4 this year we have 75%. And this number of 38 needs to be split because it's very expensive to modernize the office. So while we have 100% of offices modernized, we're only given a certain number that we can modernize every year. But 75% is a high number already in the Western Cape, so we need to share with the other provinces as well. In terms of the number of officials charged for crime, corruption and fraud, this was the quarter one only statistic. So the 3 might seem small, but it's only for the 3 months that we've passed now.
impact of POE port of entry reporting to head office as well as the refugee office operationally, because the policies, information of policies for immigration sit with head office. Operationally, head office is responsible for ports of entry. But when it comes to administrative support, HR resources, etc., the province do so but closely with the ports of entry. Because when I go to prop joints, the security guards, I need to report some port activities as well. So even though they report to head office, it's all part of operations in the Western Cape. The problem with the story, Honourable Houston, is when actually those have been repaired, but still they have to do it often because that tends to steal the bags, the tax, they put things down the toilet. So a lot of things that are vandalized toilets, that's the reason for the toilets. But that maintenance, unfortunately, it takes about a week or two before you can get them in. But we do prioritize at the moment the toilets have been. So at the moment, we don't have any toilet that's not working. I know you found it in Barrack Street. The issue about the town passports, Honorable Raputi, that was on our query register. Now, that particular child, that passport was applied for on the 12th of July. There was an emergency that the child had to travel on the 23rd. So the client phoned on the 21st and me to say they need the passport urgently. So we could speed it up and provide the passport before the child had to depart. So there's no issue with our passport. Passports actually at the moment with smart work cards work very well. The turnaround times is sometimes a week, sometimes less. But some of the areas that we've done a lot in the number of phase and it's improved a lot. Just in terms of check, the Honourable Gumede asked the question about immigration. Our immigration this year, we've deployed them to districts we've never had immigration before. We put them in Freedomland in the West Coast. Honourable Gumede is not here now, but in Central Peru, where we never had a presence, we put them in Overberg as well, in Booster Office because of the Deduans problem. So we have spread our migration offices. We appointed 50 more this year, and we have spread them not in the metro, but to the outlying areas to deal with the farming problems that we have there. In terms of the finance questions, audits, and the subsidies, it allows us 1 minute for my colleague to respond to finance.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can answer Honourable Member Ms. Kenyon. Yes, in 2015 we did have an audit by the Auditor General at the Catown office as well as the Monetary office. Catown office was audited for assets and there was assets found on the floor which was not on the asset register, which was material finding, and it added to the disclaimer. This year we have put processes in place to prevent that. And in terms of revenue and face value management, we were audited at the monetary office where there was also findings, but we have put processes, we've trained, we've put checklists in place, and we've provided the offices with the relevant information that the same findings did not occur this year. In terms of the transfers and subsidies, that's why expenditure level there, because there was no allocation towards that line item. That line item is usually covered from the compensation of employee amount that was allocated, but it is as a result of employees that have resigned from the department as well as dismissal. It's towards the payment of the leave gratuities and entitlements that was used to them. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. I think we just need to appreciate the two provinces as well for having managed to come and present on a very tight time schedule. And I know that you know, you don't find this opportunity coming by regularly. And you may have prepared yourself to come and really make a very good impression, but the time has actually been against yourself. But we really just needed to complete the work before we do other things. And but we appreciate what you have done. I think you've done very well, and then we are very clear now on the situation that's been in your provinces, and also we'll be able to engage with your national office on relevant programs of service delivery. But what we can pick up as well is that the registration of birth within 30 days is to start your national prayers program. And also on the payment within 30 days as well, you seem to be making a lot of progress, and you are winning the fight. And also, of course, it looks like all of you are committed on outreach programs. and you must be encouraged to do so, because they seem to be producing results. And also are making progress on getting the targets for smart ID cards. And, but you should also try and make sure that you reach all other areas where you don't have the technology. But we want to really make it very clear as well that you need to up your game on corruption and fraud. And also you need to up your game in feeding the post. You are denying South Africans who were technically qualified to be employed to take their positions and also make and have better lives. And then also you must up your game in terms of connectivity versus the hospitals to really make sure that you are fighting the NRP. Because they've got a lot of implications if you don't continue with that. Honorable members, I think we need to send the province again. And they are released, because what is left, I think it may not be of their interest. But it can be informed that those that have got interest, if you hear legislative amendment on the electoral, on municipal electoral or act from the IEC, but those that have got no interest, then they are released, can go. It is not going to take up time. I think we'll try to do this within 30 minutes. And on that call, then I'm actually calling the IEC to come. Yeah. Yeah, you are released in principle. Yeah. I hope that Deputy Minister has been in our